also key inventory metrics that you need to worry about or the KPIs. Average inventory is equal to beginning inventory plus ending inventory divided by 2, which is your average inventory cost. Lead time, order process time plus production time plus delivery lead time. That's the total order time or the lead time. Total lost sales ratio, number of days product is out of stock, divided by 365 into 100. So if the product is out of stock, and by means search for how do you get it. Inventory carrying cost that we just spoke about, inventory service clause plus inventory risk cost plus capital clause plus storage cost divided by total inventory value into 100. So you see how many metrics are coming into the picture. Sales KPI, sell through rate, which is number of units sold divided by number of units received into 100. Inventory rate is equal to cost of goods sold divided by average inventory. Gross margin return on investment is equal to gross margin divided by average inventory cost. Accuracy of forecast demand is actual minus forecast divided by actual into 100. Last is the employees KPI, which is labor cost per item equal to total number of units divided by total labor expense. Forecasting techniques and methods. Now calculate the lead time demand, which is the amount of product you expect to use over the amount of time it takes to receive a replenishment order. So if I say, and I think we have an example here. No, we don't. Okay, so if I say, suppose I use 100 quantity of this product A in a day. That means over a period of 7 days, I will use 700 quantity. But it takes me at least 5 days to get the product. That means in order for me not to run out of the stock, I will need to order the product at least 5 days in advance. So when the stock touches maybe 500, that's my threshold and I will need to order a new product. Review sales trends by using one or more combination of the techniques below to determine the lead time demand and plan safety stock. How much safety stock? So there might be a chance where I spoke about 500, I could have a safety stock of 200. So in case I can, I still have a buffer of 2 days to reorder my stock. That is provided I do not want to go out of stock, and I want to have that product on the counter at all times. Calculate safety stock. Safety stock is extra product inventory kept in storage as a buffer against stockouts. The amount of safety stock a company carries will vary depending on its product strategy. Or advanced product strategy is JIT or demand advanced stocking. So safety stock is daily max daily usage into max lead time minus average daily usage into average lead time, which I just spoke about. So I'm not going into detail. Use all of the above information to set the reorder point for your different items. Like I said earlier, if I do not have safety of stock, my reorder point might be 500. If I have safety stock, I might reorder it at 500 because I have 500, 300 and 200 safety stock. When inventory levels fall below the reorder point, it's time to submit a purchase order. The ROP level is the stock level that triggers replenishment in an inventory management system. Reorder point is equal to number of units used daily into number of days lead time plus number of units safety stock. So, for example, 300 units per day, we said 100. Three order, reorder, and a safety stock of 200. So I have 300 into 3, which is 900, plus 200, which is 1100. When the inventory falls below 1100, the company reaches the reorder point and must order more stock. For a conservative estimate, the safety stock will be available, can be ignored. In that case, my reorder point will be 900 because I've kept the safety stock so that I never run out of that product. Stockouts. Stockouts when customer demand for a specific product exceeds the inventory business has on hand. The danger of stockouts is that companies can lose otherwise faithful long-term customers to the competition. Inventory classification techniques. So I have a couple of techniques here, which is ABC analysis, FSN analysis, and Weigh analysis and XYZ analysis. So what are those analysis that we let's talk about? ABC analysis determines the value of inventory item based on the importance to the business, ranking them according to demand, cost, and risk data. A stands for most valuable product, typically 20% of inventory that accounts for 80% of the sales or profit. B represents the number of mid-range products that do not fit in either A or C. And C is the largest number of products that sell least or contribute least to the profitability. So A is my maximum selling product and C is the least selling product. And B is what fits in, is not exist in A and B. FSN analysis classifies inventory items according to their rate of conversion. So their broad classification, F means fast moving, S means slow moving, and N means non-moving. Again, very similar to ABC analysis. This technique helps you to more readily identify as active stock beyond the rates of consumption or stagnant. Weight analysis looks at inventory based on its importance to the organization. V for vital, E for essential, and D for desirable. Vital inventory is usually critical to production and must be tracked closely since running out could cause major problems. Weight analysis you'll use probably mostly when you are producing goods or from raw materials. Then I will use it for the raw material stock because in the supply chain management, the final product will depend, and if that final product is in demand, I want to ensure that that raw material is always in stock. Then I have XYZ analysis based on variability. X is regular, Y strong variability in demand, and Z demand irregular and difficult to predict. Companies even combine ABC and XYZ system to segment their inventory for more precise ordering and stocking practices. So out of these four, I can combine either one of them and get a better result. Then I have economic order quantity or EOQ formula can help companies determine the product quantity that helps keeps cost as low as possible. EOQ is generally best for organizations that have constant predictable demand and ordering expenses that are stable over a period of time. It takes into account ordering cost and holding cost. So we have EOQ equal to square root of 2 into D into S divided by H, which is D is demand in units, S is ordering cost, like shipping, H is holding cost, such as storage expenses. So pretty self-evident. Okay, now we saw about demand. Now let's look at forecasting, trend forecasting. Trends are changes in demand for a product over a period of time. This method projects possible pattern and excludes seasonal effects and irregularity during using past sales and growth data. More granular sales data helps this forecasting technique by showing how specific customers as well as types of customer likely to purchase in the future. Analysts can find new ways to market and offer sales from this forecasting. That means basically I see an increase in demand of computers probably around the holiday season, or not season specifically, or maybe mid-year when the payment increases or I get a hike in my salary. Graphical forecasting. So that was trend forecasting. Now let's look at graphical forecasting. The same data that a forecaster analyzes in trend forecasting can be graphed to show sales peaks and valleys. Some forecasters prefer the graphical method because of its visual nature and insights available. They can discern patterns from a series of data points and add slope trend lines to graph to explain possible directions that otherwise be missed. So in analysis, graphical is always a better method than numbers. Qualitative forecasting. When they lack historical data, most companies go straight to the source, their customers. So quantitative forecasting often involves complex data collection, such as focus group, market research. Forecasters then flesh out models from this type of data. That means, will this new product sell? What is the kind of packaging that will attract customer? What is the shelf placement and all of that? Quantity forecasting. So first I was trying to do the quality. Now I'll basically go to quality. Considered more accurate than qualitative research alone Quantitative forecasting uses past numerical data. The more data a company has, the more precise the forecast usually is. One example of quantitative is time series forecasting, which uses temporal quantity data to make a model to predict future trends, so how much quantity is going to sell. Considerations for forecasting. Now, understand under what considerations do I need to make when I'm looking at a forecast. Usually, companies consider forecast period, base demand, and application of variables and trends. As the length of the forecast period increases, forecast becomes less accurate. This uncertainty is due to fluctuation in the market, current events, and specific scientific risk. Standard intervals include 30 days, 90 days, and a year. A year forecast intervals accounts for seasonal fluctuations. So understand, it was like the COVID lockdowns that we had. So at that time, whatever was predicted did not work, and everything had to be changed. Now, I can predict maybe 3 months down the line, 6 months down the line, a month down the line, or a year. But going beyond that is not reasonable when it comes to forecasting, because anything could happen even in a month or 3 months or accordingly. That would change the demand and supply. Base demand is a known customer need when beginning a forecast. Usually it is uses the prior 30 days of sales or any pre-sales. The application of variables and trends is the tricky and varies by type of industry and business. These variables include sales velocity, supply chain channel challenges, and seasonality. Competitor analysis in e-commerce. So let's now talk about competitive analysis when it comes to e-commerce analytics. Tracking competitor prices, offers, and promotions. So first thing is price monitoring. So first we will track the price. Regularly track the prices of products offered by your competitors. This helps you understand how prices compare and whether you're positioned competitively in the market. You obviously will compare your prices of your products or similar products with your competitor and price accordingly. Otherwise, like it says, the lesser one will win. Promotion analysis. Keep an eye on the promotion discounts your competitors are offering. This helps you stay competitive during sales event and identify trends in pricing strategies. Even if you monitor, you will understand what pattern is your competitor following when it comes to building the strategies. Offer comparison. Analyze the product bundles, deals, and value proposition your customers are providing to customers. This information can guide your own marketing and product offering strategies. Offer comparison. Conversion rates. Analyze conversion rates for different stages of the journey, such as product views on to purchases. Benchmarking against competitors can highlight areas for improvement. Like suppose a product is view to purchase is much faster in the or the conversion rate is higher for them and lesser for y'all. That where is the lack that is there? Customer reviews and ratings. Monitor customer reviews and ratings for your products and those of your competitors. This can help you identify customer sentiment and areas for enhancement. Obviously, you will compare your ratings with the ratings of the competitor. Benchmarking own e-commerce performance against competitors. So you have traffic and engagement where you compare the website traffic, the visitor engagement metrics, bounce rate, time on site, session time, user experience between your site and competitors. Why does you do that? It will help you identify strengths and weaknesses in your site's performance and what needs to be improved. Identifying opportunities and gaps in the market. So how do you do that? Product gap. Analyze the products your competitors offer and identify gaps in your own product catalog. This would reveal opportunities to introduce new products or expand your range. Because if you expand, then you get more customers, or at least even your long-term or loyal customers would choose to buy the product from you now that you have it on your pipeline rather than on your catalog rather than the competitor. Niche markets. Explore if there are any untapped or underserved niche markets that your competitors aren't targeting. These markets provide growth potential. Competitor does not have this product. It is related to your product line or a line that you want to take. get into it. Innovation. Identify innovative features, services, or experience your competitors are offering. This can inspire your own efforts to enhance your value proposition. Look into doing something new, new ideas, new features in your existing product, new services. How can you enhance your customer experience? Strategy analysis. Marketing. Observe the marketing channels that the competitors are using. Are they heavily invested in social media, email marketing, or influencer collaboration? This will help you refine your own channel strategy. What is working better for them might work for you also. Content and messaging. Analyze the content, messaging, and branding of your competitors. This can provide insights into what resonates with customers and help you refine your own messaging. What content is working for them? What kind of messages are they sending out? So you want to compare that with your competitor. Localization and international expansion. If your competitors are expanding into new regions or market, it might indicate opportunities for your own international growth. So if they're expanding internationally, they see the opportunity. Probably there is an opportunity that you have missed. Evaluating the performance of ad campaigns. Effectively evaluating the performance of your ad helps optimize strategies and allocate budgets more effectively. Key metrics track metrics like click-through rate, conversion rate, cost per click, cost per acquisition, and return on ad spend. A-B testing. Conduct A-B tests to compare different ad creatives, copy, or targeting strategies. Use strategically significant results to make informed decisions. Ad placement. Evaluate the performance of your ads on different platforms, placements, and devices. Focus resources on high-performing channels. That means, suppose I go to a platform and maybe the ad on the top works, at the bottom works, or in between works. So I know where I have to focus my resources or the money. Segmentation. Analyze the performance of ads for different audience segments. Tailor your messaging and targeting based on segment preferences and behavior. So customer segmentation, product segmentation, demographic, geographical, all of those factors that we've discussed. Ad copy and creative. Assess the effectiveness of ad copy visuals and calls to action. Optimize these elements to resonate better with your audience. Then, so ad copy and creative is basically what is your call to action, what visual is working better, what visual is not working, what ad is working better, which calls to action are working better. All of them could have different effects. Ad frequency. Monitor ad fatigue by analyzing how frequently users are exposed to your ad. High ad frequency can lead to decreased engagement. So if I keep seeing the ad, maybe I'll get bored. I'm not even interested looking at the banner. But it might also work vice versa for certain brands, depending on how visible it is. Ad budget allocation. Based on performance metrics, reallocate budgets to top performing campaigns, ad groups, or channels. So if when you've set up already a budget, you might want to monitor it during the period that the ad is running to see if you need to allocate more budget or more resources to a particular channel. Competitor analysis. Analyze how ad campaigns compare to those of competitors. Identify strengths and weaknesses in your approach. Identifying and optimizing high performing product assortment. So which products are high performing and how do I identify them and how do I optimize them? Top selling products. Identify products with the highest sales volume and revenue. These are your top performance and may warrant additional marketing efforts. If there are certain products which are very costly and which are selling high, it means more revenue for the organization. Profitable. Focus on products with healthy profit margin. While high revenue is important, profitability ensures sustainable business growth. So it needs to be a profitable product and also a top-selling product for me to sustain the growth. Slow-moving products. Analyze products that have low sales or low turnover. Consider these products should be discounted, promoted, or just phased out. Probably write-downs, dead stock, where these products will come. Product cannibalization. Watch out for products that compete with each other and can cannibalize sale, adjust pricing or marketing to minimize this effect. Basically, eat up your sales or your products that are conflicting to each other can cause a defect in the sales of each of those products and all of that. Seasonal trends. Recognize products that have seasonality in demand. Optimize inventory and market to align with the seasonal trend. Obviously, in the winter months, I will need more of winter growth, so I need to stock my or develop my research line or fashion line based on that. Bundling and cross-selling opportunity. Identify that can be bundled together, cross-sold to increase average order value. You would now see this on most of the websites. Whether it's a fashion website, you will see if I'm selling clothes as an accessories together, I will bundle up the pro clothes and accessories. Nowadays, if you go to Amazon, they basically give you the entire style, at least for female products, where kurti, leggings, the earrings, the shoes, and everything is like, oh, you can bundle up all these together. Product life cycle. Consider where each product stands in its life cycle. New products might need more marketing, while mature products would benefit from a refresh. So, where is it in the life cycle? Does it need more marketing or does it need a change? Unique challenges in e-commerce analytics. So, we will talk about challenges and then we'll talk about opportunities, which are way more. Vast amounts of data. So, you have e-commerce platforms generate massive volumes of data. I spoke about this right at the beginning of the chapter. From website traffic, user interaction, transactions, and more, handling and processing this data can be a significant challenge requiring robust infrastructure and advanced data management techniques. When I have huge amount of data, so or maybe sources of data which are generating huge amount and I'm integrating them, then I need to have a system which will help me manage the data, which would not be the traditional system but the advanced system. Data quality and integrity. E-commerce data can be noisy and incomplete, affecting the accuracy of your results. Ensuring data quality and integrity is crucial to making informed decisions. We spoke about data cleaning in the beginning itself. This refers back to that. Multi-channel complexity. E-commerce operations often span multiple channels such as websites, mobile apps, social media, and marketplaces. Analyzing and integrating data from these diverse sources can be complex. How do I integrate? How do I manage the data? So, data from different channels, different sources is all what comes into the picture. Real-time analytics. Customer expects seamless experiences, which means e-commerce analysis must often provide real-time insights. Processing and analyzing data in real time can be technically challenging. Yes, if I do not use the most advanced techniques, I might not be able to monitor the data or get an insight on the trends, the demands in the market in a real-time basis. What are the opportunities? Customer behavior understanding. Understanding and predicting customer behavior is crucial for effective marketing and personalized experiences. However, online customer behavior can be unpredictable and influenced by various factors. It can be, we are very unpredictable people, but in general, I will get a generic idea about the behavior of the customer. And also, with the current trend, if you have elderly parents or grandparents at home, you will end up ordering from them. So, which will not depict your ideal customer behavior, but somebody else's also behavior getting influenced. Privacy and security. E-commerce analytics involves sensitive customer information like personal details and payment data. Ensuring compliance with privacy regulations and customer data is essential. The moment you have personally identifiable information, you need to ensure that those are comply with the guidelines and regulations for your particular country. Dynamic pricing. E-commerce retailers often use dynamic pricing strategies, which require continuous monitoring of marketing, competitor pricing and customer behavior. Implementing effective dynamic pricing analytics can be intricate. So there are often machine learning models that will help you predict the prices and will even apply them on the website so that you can quickly update the pricing based on the new strategy that has been implemented. Personalization. E-commerce analytics enables personalized marketing, product recommendations, and experience. By understanding customer preferences and behavior, retailers can tailor offerings to individual shoppers. Personalization is very important. Optimize inventory management. Analytics can help optimize inventory levels, reducing carrying cost and stockouts. Demand forecasting and trend can help inventory management. Conversion rate optimization. Analyzing user behavior on e-commerce website can uncover insights to enhance the user experience, streamline the checkout process, increase conversion rates. We spoke about all of this just some time back. Marketing effectiveness. E-commerce analytics can evaluate the performance of marketing campaigns, helping retailers allocate resources effectively and identify the most successful channels. Competitor analysis, we just spoke about it in detail. E-commerce analytics provides insights into competitors' pricing, strategies, product offerings, and customer engagement. This information can inform strategic decisions. We spoke about supply chain optimization also, which is understanding demand patterns and customer preferences that lead to better supply chain management, reducing costs, and improving product availability. Fraud detection, very important. Advanced can help identify unusual patterns of behavior that might indicate fraudulent transaction, enhancing e-commerce security. You've never shopped for this big amount, and all of you mostly shop from a mobile app, and all of a sudden you're shopping from the website from a different location altogether. That might be a concern. So even Amazon will not allow other people to log in with a different location unless you approve it. Predictive analytics. By analyzing historical data, e-commerce businesses can make prediction about future trends, sales, and customer, aiding in proactive decision making. Always. Past historical data will always tell me how the future trends are going to be. Thank you.